Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
It's your funeral, so do it your way. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a look at the rise of popular music at funerals. And later, the reggae group Easy Star All-Stars breathes new life into a Beatles classic live in our studio. But first, a recent survey of 30,000 funerals in the United Kingdom found that traditional hymns and classical music are no longer the first choice for a fond farewell. Contemporary songs accounted for 58% of the music requested at funerals. That's up 4% from a similar survey done in 2005. One thing that didn't change from survey to survey? Frank Sinatra's classic rendition of My Way topped the list of most requested funeral songs. That's in England. We'll get the American perspective and take your calls in a few minutes, but first, Lorinda Sheesby joins us. She is head of marketing for Cooperative Funeral Care, the group that conducted the UK study. She joins us from Manchester, England. Lorinda, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello, John. Thank you.
So why is this happening? Why are we seeing less of the hymns and more pop music at funerals?
Yes, I mean, it very much depends on an individual family choice. I guess what we are seeing is that music can often help to reflect and commemorate a person's life. And quite often that could be contemporary music as much as it can be classical or traditional hymns.
You know, what strikes me as odd is, especially towards the end of the millennium, we noticed a kind of a big rise in interest in, you know, spirituality, just in general. Mm-hmm. And here we are still in the first decade of this new century, and we're seeing less of that as people, you know, bid their final farewells. It seems to be sort of counterintuitive.
I guess it's, more people are choosing contemporary music, but quite often you'll find that families have a mixture as well. So that doesn't mean to say that they're not choosing hymns at all. Quite often you'll find families who request a contemporary tune and also a hymn as well. And it will depend on the culture and the religious views of the families as well, and also where the service is taking place. But I think, you know, as more people are becoming aware of the options and choices open to them, what we have found in the survey that we conducted through our Cooperative Funeral Care Homes is that often funerals can be about celebrating a life as much as mourning a loss as well.
So what prompted you to do this study in the first place?
Mm-hmm. We've run the survey for a number of years now, and what we like to do is just find out generally from our funeral homes what families are asking for, and we do it on the basis of trying to understand what it is that people are looking for, but also to make people aware of that as well. And it always helps if the likes of yourselves actually, you know, are interested in stories as regards to funerals, because the more people that can actually think and talk about what they might want, often the easier it is when their families come in to arrange funerals with us.
And in doing the survey, was there any surprises?
There are surprising ones, but it very much depends on individual choice. So the ones that might seem surprising to you and I often are obviously not surprising to the family because they've requested them. I guess some of the more unusual choices either revolve around popular British TV programmes, be they sort of soap operas or reality TV shows, or, you know, other things that perhaps their loved one would have watched on a regular basis and enjoyed. And then we also get some other ones as well, more of the sort of unusual contemporary type tunes from either fairly contemporary artists or maybe, you know, sort of those going back to the 50s and the 60s, particularly if that particular song or that singer meant a lot to the person who died.
What about Frank Sinatra's My Way? What, yeah. A perennial favorite, apparently, there in the UK.
It is. I mean, we found when we ran the charts 4 years ago, and My Way, Frank Sinatra, was number one then as well. The contemporary tunes, they do change. I mean, some of them are fairly classic. I mean, the second one to My Way is Wind Beneath My Wings, Bette Midler. That's another popular one as well. But I guess there's other popular artists in there. Robbie Williams, he was in the charts starts 4 years ago for funerals, and he's still there. And then also, as far as sort of British TV programmes are concerned, there's quite a phenomenon over here in terms of the X Factor. And indeed, the winner of that late last year in England, actually her song, Hallelujah, appears in the chart as well.
X Factor being the original version of our show, American Idol.
Right, indeed, yes.
All right. We're speaking with Lorinda Sheesby. She's head of marketing for Cooperative Funeral Care in the UK. And you can see the full list of the top requested popular songs on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Here are some of the songs that Lorinda was talking about. The number four song on the list, Sarah Brightman and Andrea Bocelli.
Io sì lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me, mio sole, tu sei qui con me.
Time to say goodbye, Sarah Brightman and Andrea Bocelli. At number three on the list of most requested songs at funerals in the UK is Angels by Robbie Williams.
I sit and wait. There's an angel contemplate my fate. Do they know the places where we go? When we're gray and old.
And the number two most requested song at funerals in the UK, at least in terms of popular music, Bette Midler's Wind Beneath My Wings. Lorinda, I gotta say, these funeral songs, they're killing me. I mean, it's kind of cheesy stuff here. All right, Frank Sinatra, My Way at number one, but, I mean, who's making these choices? Is it people planning their own funerals, or is it the family? What's going on here?
It's a combination. I mean, some people do plan their own funeral and will have talked to their family about the sorts of music that they would think they would like having played at their funeral. But often it's the choice of the family. And, you know, if you look at, you know, you might call them cheesy, but look at something like Frank Sinatra's My Way, or indeed Wind Beneath My Wings, which we've just heard, then, you know, these were very popular songs. And, you know, if it was a particular favourite of the loved one, and then what better way to celebrate a life and remember a person and remember what they really enjoyed and remember them for the good things in terms of music.
And in terms of, you know, when it comes to questions of what's appropriate, you report that the clergy reject about 1 in 10 requests from families.
Yeah.
Why does that usually happen?
It's usually because of some particular religious tradition. I mean, certainly some funeral services are held in churches, not all, but some. And as far as church is concerned, I mean, most people respect the fact that churches are places of religious worship, where choice sometimes, not always, but sometimes possibly can become more limited. So, but in our experience, I mean, the clergy, the vicars, the clergy do always do the best to be flexible, but sometimes tunes are not appropriate for that particular funeral.
You report in your study that at least someone requested AC/DC's Highway to Hell.
They did.
Was that rejected?
No, it wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
So that actually was somebody's final send-off?
It was indeed, yeah.
What does, looking over the survey, the rise of requests for contemporary, for pop music at funerals, mm-hmm. what does it say about what people want for their final moments on this earth?
I think in terms of, you know, celebrating a life, commemorating the person's life that's passed away. I mean, certain pieces of music are viewed as sort of very powerful expressions of feeling. They can be a great way of summing up how we feel about ourselves and about others as well.
We've been speaking with Lorinda Sheesby. She's head of marketing for Cooperative Funeral Care based in Manchester, England. And in a moment, we'll get an American take on music at funerals from a New Jersey-based funeral director. Lorinda, thank you for being with us and sharing the results of the study with us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much indeed.
This is Soundcheck. Well, AC/DC's Highway to Hell was one of the more unusual choices for funeral music cited in that British study we were just hearing about. In a moment, we'll get a local take from New Jersey-based funeral director, and we'll take your calls and comments. And, coming up later still, the Easy Star All-Stars have given a reggae treatment to Radiohead and Pink Floyd. Now they're taking on a Beatles classic, and we'll do so live here in our studio. That's coming up on Soundcheck.
Lovely Rita, meet a mate. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tore your heart away. Nothing can come between us.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So we were just hearing about that study of funeral music in the UK that found that more people are requesting pop songs than traditional hymns or classical music. This song, You'll Never Walk Alone, by Jerry and the Pacemakers, was among the top 10 requested songs. But that's in the UK. What about here in the States for a local take on music and funerals? We're joined by Robert C. Moore, who owns and operates Moore's Home for Funerals in Wayne, New Jersey. Robert, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks a lot, John.
So you were listening to Lorinda's report on their study. How does that play out here in the States?
I think a lot of the philosophy of what she was saying about where the study was generated from is similar to what happens here in the United States, but the songs, I would say, are a little bit different.
My Way, Frank Sinatra?
I love the song. I've never heard it at a funeral at our funeral home.
And your funeral home has been in your family since 1902, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you've been to your share of, just from your own
sure.
personal experience.
Well, I've been a funeral director for 30 years, so I've gone from playing LPs to people bringing in their iPods in terms of the generations of digital music and that type
of
thing.
So the technology has changed.
Sure.
Has the percentage of people requesting unusual songs changed?
I believe that you do see a lot more people asking for more popular music, yes.
And any compelling single reason for that, or just as many reasons as there are people who come in?
I think if you look at it from a little more globally in terms of just the music of a funeral, there's been a big emphasis in our industry of having more personalized funerals. And just like music is a part of the funeral, whether it's merchandise that people select or where they have the funeral, anything that can make the funeral a more meaningful experience for the family is something that funeral directors are striving to do.
And is this a new phenomenon, this personalization thing?
I would say probably newer than other things, yes.
Is this a baby boomer thing?
Partially, yeah. But, you know, it's not only funerals. It's any type of significant life event. If you, for instance, if you consider a wedding, in the old days you'd have a preacher who would read the vows and you got married and you didn't think much about it. But now you have couples that are writing their vows to make it more personal. Same type of thing.
Reminds me of something that I wrote on the blog today, which, you know, actually begins with, I was sort of remembering the Big Chill. You remember that movie where it begins with the little funeral ceremony mm-hmm. and they're playing the Rolling Stones?
Yep.
You can't always get what you want. We're speaking with Robert Moore, who owns and operates Moore's Home for Funerals in Wayne, New Jersey, and we'll be taking your calls and comments momentarily.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
If you're personalizing funeral music, there is a question of taste. I once went to a wedding where the bride and groom chose for their first dance the song Baby, Baby, Don't Get Hooked on Me. I suppose the choice would have been okay if the couple were being ironic or if the song didn't suck, but as neither of those were the case, it was just poor taste.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
All right. So, Robert, as you were saying, all life events, people are trying to personalize them.
Agreed.
Taste does become an issue. Is it more of an issue if you're having a funeral in a church than if you're having it in a funeral home?
I'd say that's the baseline issue, yes. If you're having a funeral service in our funeral home, we're very flexible about what goes on. And, you know, as long as you're not really breaking any laws, we're okay with it. I mean, if you're going to play music that could possibly be considered out there a little bit, I would hope that you have the good sense to think about the people that are coming. The other way to look at that is if you're going into an organized religion type of atmosphere, whether it's a church or a synagogue or a mosque or something, you really move out of the control of the funeral home, and then you're within the guidelines that the religious leader would set.
Now, for people who come to a funeral home, I mean, in your experience, what have been some of the more commonly requested pop songs?
In our funeral home, I think one of the things that we get asked to play is a contemporary Christian song. It's called With Hope by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and that's one that we hear a lot. We've heard Sarah McLachlan, Angels in the Arms of the Angels. That's mm-hmm. something that people like.
What about, like, just pop band? I mean, Mike and the Mechanics, for example.
Yeah, that was a song that I heard, and it wasn't in our funeral home. It was utilized in a Catholic church mass. It was, if you're familiar with the tone of that song, it's kind of a lament about someone who didn't really communicate with their father before he passed away. And the woman whose dad died, I guess, felt strongly about that song, and she asked the priest if that could be used, and they did. They played it, and it was very bittersweet, because if you spend a moment and listen to some of those lyrics, it's, you know, you're wishing you had those living years back to reconnect with the person.
This is the song from Mike and the Mechanics.
I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. I didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. So say, say, say it loud. Say it clear. Oh, say it clear.
The Living Years from Mike and the Mechanics, one of the pop songs that has been used as a kind of a funeral song, as so many have been in recent years. It's a topic that we're discussing on Soundcheck today, and we'd like you to be part of the conversation. You can give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. What do you think of the use of non-traditional music at a funeral? Maybe you've already done some planning yourself along those lines. What would you like to hear at a funeral? What has surprised you when you've been to a funeral? Robert, here's a comment from Vinny, and I never know how to say this. Is it Manalapan, New Jersey?
Manalapan.
He writes, I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan, but to hear Stairway to Heaven at a funeral for a friend in a Catholic church in Brooklyn was weird. It's not always the person liked the song and therefore it's appropriate for the funeral. I mean, I mentioned before the question of taste. Who's ultimately, do you have any kind of control? I mean, are you the arbiter of taste at some point?
If it leaves the funeral home and it's going to take place in an organized religious setting, I think our goal as funeral professionals is to ameliorate all the parties involved. So if I have a family that knows they really want something off the beaten path musically, and I know they're going to a church where the pastor of the church is not going to be very receptive to that, my thought would be to them, listen, what's more important? Do you really need to have this song? Because if you want this song, you might consider a different church. You know, I'm always trying to get things to go smoothly. So as far as the arbiter of taste, I'm not sure that's part of my job description, only a recommendation.
But you do make recommendations.
Well, again, you know, everything is a little bit different. I had It was actually a family funeral for my wife's brother. He was a young man who passed away in his 50s, and his daughter was very musical. And this guy was a classic rocker, you know, Judas Priest, Zeppelin, Stones, Cream. And she sang a song by Judas Priest at his funeral called Angel and did a great job. Everybody thought it was a very pretty song that fit in well. And when we heard that it was from Judas Priest, it was like, wow, you know, who would have thought? And also at that wake, she played a lot of, she brought in her laptop, set it up through our system with all classic rock. And people were coming in, you know, kind of raising their eyebrows a little bit, like you're almost walking into a nightclub, but it was this gentleman's wake. But that's what was important to their family, and that's what was going to make it a meaningful gathering.
Here's an interesting comment from Morgan in Ridgewood, New Jersey. He writes, being Jewish, I've never been to a Jewish funeral where music was played. However, when my dad, a huge Sinatra fan, died 2.5 years ago, I brought a CD with My Way on it and requested that they play it in the chapel before the service began. This was a bit out of the ordinary for them, so they did screw it up a bit, but at least part of the song was played. As an aside, other than a few sharp people, most were not aware of either the music or the song choice. I am convinced that my dad knew, and that's all that really mattered to me. So there's the answer to your question. What really matters to Morgan, that was what really mattered.
You know, if I was leading a religious group, and if you look at the number of people who are leaving religious groups for whatever reason, I would try and be accommodating to people. I would be listening to what people say. I would be personalizing as much as possible. So, you know, there are churches that let you play pretty much whatever you'd like to.
All right, I guess we're going to stay in New Jersey. Adam is joining us on the line from River Edge, New Jersey. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, do you have a song choice for funeral music, something you've heard or would like to hear?
Yeah, here's my deal. It's not so much what I want played at my funeral as it's a takeaway of a mix CD. When people come to my funeral, they'll get like a burned copy of this CD.
Wow. What's going to be on it?
Well, we're going to have the song. I'm looking at it on my computer already. It's called These Days. It's a Nico song.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of different versions of that because I want people to get the idea. And then The Maker, which is a Daniel Lanois song.
Daniel Lanois, right.
Right. Who Knows Where the Time Goes by Fairport Convention.
Right. So these are all kind of elegiac songs and, well...
Yeah, Innocent When You Dream.
Yeah, by Tom Waits. Very nice.
Right. St. James Infirmary, a little bit.
Wow. So you've clearly put a lot of thought into this. And Robert, I mean, how...
I think it's a great idea.
So who... Are you seeing people coming in saying, we're not deciding this, he or she, and pointing to the deceased,
well, if
made
I understood
this decision?
The caller correctly, his goal was to, instead of people leaving his funeral with a prayer card, they would like to take away a CD of music he liked, which is just another way of personalization. As to who is deciding what gets played at a funeral, I believe that, as the Lorinda said in the British clip, sometimes it's the people pre-planning for themselves. Other times it's family trying to do what they think would be important to the person who's passed away. A little bit of both.
So Adam, our caller, is clearly planning for himself. James writes the following comment on the Soundcheck page of our website. My dad has told me that in his will, he has requested Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult.
Well, don't put it in the will because the will isn't read till a few days after the death, so make sure his funeral director knows that.
All right. Good point. This is why we have a trained professional here in the studio this afternoon. Kids, don't try this at home. Doug joining us on the line from Newark. Hi, Doug.
Hi. I just work in Newark. I'm actually from Long Valley, New Jersey. But I listened to your station all the time, but this struck me kind of interesting. The song that has always stuck into my mind as being what I feel is the most appropriate song to play just about at anybody's funeral was written by the composer Samuel Barber. It's called Adagio for Strings. It's extremely poignant. It evokes emotion. And if you know the piece, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Well,
I don't know if the funeral director does.
Doug, I mean, you know, this... Did you come to this piece through the movies or through classical music directly?
I came through classical movies. I mean, through classical music. I know it appeared in the only movie I can think that it was in The Elephant Man.
Oh, it was in Platoon, quite famously in the movie Platoon. But
it was in Platoon as well.
Yeah. The funny thing is,
what a piece! I'm telling you.
Yeah, Robert, have people requested the Adagio for Strings? Because since the time of FDR's death in this country, it has been a kind of national elegy. That piece.
You know, John, we don't get a lot of classical type of requests, no. I'm not familiar with the piece either. I apologize.
What about, people of other ethnicities, other cultures? I mean, you know, you don't have to look too far. New Orleans has its own funeral music tradition, which is a world away from anything.
True.
But there's a large Indian population in New Jersey where you work.
Well, just a quick aside on New Orleans. I have a good friend who's also a funeral director. His son plays in the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and as I was telling him about my appearance on your show today, he goes, wow, they really do a lot of funerals all the time still. And I was surprised to hear that. In fact, when I leave Soundcheck here, I'm going to their real Soundcheck. They're playing tonight in the city.
No, this is the real Soundcheck. This is the real Soundcheck.
When I leave the real Soundcheck, I'm going to check them out tonight. They have a show at 8 o'clock at the Highline Ballroom on West 16th.
The Dirty Dozen Brass Band, correct. Very famous, but still out on the streets of New Orleans doing funerals.
And I believe my friend told me that when they do play the funerals, they lead them in a parade-type way. Mm-hmm. They march along the street there, and a lot of the music that they play is traditional New Orleans jazz.
And, the Indian community, I mean, if you had any experience?
Yeah, Wayne, where I come from, our funeral home is a pretty diverse ethnic group. We do help Hindu families several times a year, and the music that you hear there is very chanted.
So it's still traditional.
Yeah, it's led by a priest who does a lot of chanting throughout the course of the ceremony.
All right. Let's check in with Angie in Sunnyside. So finally, a caller from outside of New Jersey. Hi, Angie.
Hi.
So do you have a musical story to tell us?
I do. My brother, one of my younger brothers, passed away in January under rather tragic circumstances, having taken his own life, and it was quite sudden, and he was quite young, and sort of the question of what music to play that would, you know, make people feel better, mm-hmm. and kind of honor him was really difficult. And my father decided that he wanted to play Bring Him Home from Les Mis, because this was a song that my father would listen to as he worried about my brother. And so that song was sort of intended to soothe my father's grief. And then my youngest brother, to sort of honor my other brother's,
his life and his own tastes.
Yeah. Chose, of all things, Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas.
By Kansas, yeah.
So it was an interesting evening, and the sort of recessional was Carry On My Wayward Son. So we had joked about standing up and doing air guitar as the family walked out. Better taste intervened, and we did not do that. But
Angie, it's an interesting point that you raise. I'm sorry for your loss, but it sounds like you really, you know, put together an unusual set of musical pieces for your brother's funeral. And Robert, she raises an interesting point, and probably a good point to end with, and that is, who is this music for? Is this to comfort the people who have been left behind, or, you know, isn't that really why we started doing music at funerals anyway?
Yes. The whole funeral, in a big way, is for the living. Music is a part of that. If it's a combination of contemporary and traditional, like the woman from London said, it's all about what's going to help the family grieve, what's going to help them remember the person, and hopefully put that grief in a place where they can move forward and return to their life.
We've been speaking with Robert C. Moore. He owns and operates Moore's Home for Funerals in Wayne, New Jersey. It's been in the family since 1902. And Robert, you mentioned this song by Sarah McLachlan that we're hearing in the background, another one that gets requested a fair amount. Thank you for coming in and for joining us this
afternoon.
Thanks
a lot, John. Appreciate it.
And our conversation continues online. Check out some of the comments that your fellow listeners have left and are still leaving on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Oh, beautiful release. Memories seep from my veins. Let me be empty.
Still to come on Soundcheck, it's Sgt. Pepper's like you've never heard it before. The Easy Star All-Stars have reimagined the Beatles' classic reggae style, and we'll hear the results. Tomorrow on the show, Eminem is releasing his first album in 5 years. We'll debate whether the hiatus and kicking substance abuse have changed the provocative rapper for the better or worse. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck.
Comfort here.